Good afternoon. It's good to see you here. Oh, of course, the first slide. No relationships. I'm looking at very much similar issues that Betty was talking about from a bit of a different perspective in a different area of the world. I'm going to talk about a trip that we've got students organized going to Bangladesh. And a lot of similar issues have come up. So one of the first things that we look at is public health nursing competencies and looking at the domain of cultural competency skills. And I've just got them listed here so that we can remind ourselves what some of those competencies are that we're looking at developing in public health nursing. Cultural competence, if you look at the literature, can be defined in a variety of ways, and the way I've looked at it is a cultural knowledge base that nurses need, together with the ability to apply such knowledge to practice. Culturally competent nurses seek to challenge marginalization and discrimination. Different authors have looked at competency as an evolving concept. If you look at St. Clair McHenry, Cross looks at it as a continuum. Up to cultural competency can be a theory, Leininger, many of us are familiar with, and it's an ongoing process, Jerway analyzed these frameworks, but there are commonalities among them all, and it's an awareness of diversity among human beings, an ability to care for individuals, non-judgmental openness, and looking at it as a long-term process. So how do you learn to become culturally competent? We all know there's formal education, distance learning, short courses, workshops, research, and the one that I'm going to talk about is actually the immersion. And all the pictures are from our first trip to Bangladesh. The strengths of the immersion are increasing students' awareness of their own beliefs, and again, the American values, practices, behaviors, and how that contrasts with where they've been and where they're going. Ability to learn from the clients, ability to cope with factors affecting care, increasing their own cultural sensitivity, and an increased perspective transformation. So thinking about the world in a little different way. Bangladesh is in the northeast corner of India. It has been an independent country since 1971. A lot of people, little country. It's the eighth most populous country in the world, third poorest. Approximately half the population lives below the poverty line. Groundwater can often be contaminated with arsenic, and it's a naturally occurring arsenic. Waterborne diseases are prevalent, and child malnutrition remains some of the highest in the world. However, the prevalence of severely underweight children has been halved, which is an amazing accomplishment. Life expectancy is increased. They have a strong immunization program and disease control programs, and there's also a strong family planning program throughout the country. How this started? Why Bangladesh? A group of us got an internal grant to look at increasing global health opportunities for the College of Medicine and the College of Nursing and Health Sciences. And two of the people in that group had contacts with the International Center for Diarrheal Diseases Research in Bangladesh, the ICDDRB. And so in May, two of us went over there, made lots of contacts, and developed a partnership with the Independent University of Bangladesh and their program. They'd already been hosting students from, I believe it was Wisconsin, with liberal arts colleges, so they knew the system and they knew how to set it up. So once that was set up, came back, got department permission to get going on this, and recruited students thinking that, you know, four or five would be willing to come. 24 hands went up out of the class. So January, myself, my husband, and 17 undergrad nursing students went to Bangladesh to do our public health, community public health nursing course. And we also had two IUB faculty with us at all times. The cost was about $35,000 for the, $3,500, and plus their 6 credits of tuition, which they would have had to pay for anyway. Students were divided into 5 groups. Each group had an IUB student with them to act as interpreter and cultural broker. They were the ones that said, don't go in there with your shoes on, take them off. You know, those kind of issues that would come up as you're working in a different culture. Each student group had a topic. We developed questionnaires, and they used a demographic form that were developed by the IUB colleagues. And we all had input on all the questions. And you can see there what the different topics are. Assignments, of course, reflective journaling, their community assessment, and they had to do presentations there to the IUB faculty and students, as well as when they got back home, they did poster presentations. We had a class every night. Our days in the village, breakfast at 7:30, out into the villages for interviewing at 8:30, morning tea at 11, lunch at 1, back out to the villages till afternoon tea at 5, class at 6, dinner at 8. Very full days. We did a qualitative analysis of the journals about the immersion experience, and a couple of us are going to look at continuing this following graduation to see if the lessons they've learned during the trip actually stick and make a difference in their practice. It's part of a larger study. I'm working with a group in Australia that's also sent students to India, and so they've used a similar journaling guidelines, and we'll see if there's similarities and differences in that. And all I'm reporting on at the moment is the initial aspects of our study. And we did develop four themes. First was the beginning to see. And this sort of was in the first few days of the trip, the first week essentially. And it was kind of their initial impressions. You know, it's very profound to see the way that people lived. I was in shock when I traveled around. Villages were amazing, taken aback. And it seems awful to have less of a chance of survival based just on where one was born. So it's sort of those initial impressions, beginning to see that there is something else out there. And then thinking about what they did see. Throughout our evening classes, students started thinking about and reflecting on what they'd seen. One of the IUB faculty we had with us was a sociologist, knew the sociology, geography, culture of the country, and answered a lot of those questions. And as they were thinking about it, their ideas of what middle class was changed. If you had, especially that one quote, we started with a family that seemed quite well off. They had goats, chickens, sheep, 3 cows, middle class salary, which to us probably $35 isn't a whole lot, but for them gave them quite a bit of freedom. Once they sort of got through, and the one, they were surprised that they were having their pictures taken by the villagers who had cell phones. They wanted to change things, and that's going about fixing things. It's a similar thing that you discovered. You know, we had discussions about duffel bag medicine, where you drop in with your duffel bag full of stuff, leave it, and go away again. And we didn't want to do that. So what we're looking at, I also teach community-based participatory research, and it's a long process. So what we were doing in this trip is mostly assessment. We wanted to find out what they wanted before we did anything. But the students found that very difficult to not do something. They wanted to give away everything they had. And they were profoundly changed by what they had seen. And it was funny, when they came home, they were saying, you know, I drove back to school, walked into my room, and thought I have so much stuff. Immediately started weeding through clothes and stuff and cleaned everything out. The Salvation Army loved me that week. And so they, you know, they were changed. Their worldview was changed by what they had done. And now, I'm not saying all 17 of them did, but for many of them, it was quite a difference. They articulated their personal lessons that they'd learned, and here are some of them, the second one in particular. Before coming, I had the impression that I was going to change their culture and way of life based on the life that I knew. And now, after being here and realizing the importance of the people, I had it all wrong. I now understand if I tried to help these people live and act more like me and where I come from, I would not be helping them, but rather hurting them. This is a very important realization for me. And I think even if only one student makes that discovery, I think it's made a big difference. And one of the main things I've learned is how little I know. And that was at the end of the trip. So I thought that was quite interesting. Getting back to their cultural competency skills, looking at each of those individual elements, one of the family members offered us some type of food. I was told by accepting the food they offer us, they will trust us more. Her additional comment was, I really didn't like the fruit, though, that they gave us, but I didn't let them know. And children, talking to interpreters and through interpreters and figuring out that particular skill of how to use interpreters. And I've also discovered we have to do a little bit more around how to work with interpreters, so that'll be on our next trip. Identifying the role of cultural and social behavioral factors. It's important to be culturally competent when dealing with health issues that are rooted in long traditions. You need to balance that with health. So I thought that was an interesting lesson that they'd learned as well. This next one was really interesting because they were working a lot on fish cultivation, and they didn't want to use the rivers because they're very polluted. If you see where the latrines are, you don't want to eat the fish out of that water either. So what they did was, took clay out of large pits to build houses and then use the pit that they dug for the fish. But they were wondering why weren't they using the machines to dig these holes? And they were found out that the excavators dug up more dirt and soil than the clay. So they had much more control when they dug it by hand. And understanding the dynamic forces. There's no one right way to solve a problem. It all depends on the way you view the issues. And those views all depend on the culture in which you come from and live in. And that's one of our local market pharmacies that you see in the picture there. We already have our plans in place for the next visit. I've got 19 students coming with me this time. I will take up to 20. That's it. But three of those students are in our RN to BS program, so that'll be an interesting mix when we get there. The girls' high school also wanted some health education, and they wondered if we could help them with that. So that's one of the other things that we're going to be looking at. But we're not going to have it so that we're the ones that are doing all the teaching. We're going to do a train-the-trainer type process so that the villagers have a say in what the students are going to be taught, how to teach it, and then turn it back over to them. We went to Bangladesh with the intention of learning about the community public health in a developing country. We discovered the common need for quality nursing care and access to resources and education. Visiting Bangladesh opened our eyes to the similarities of human health needs in that we all have common goals for our health. Our future nursing practice will be forever impacted by this experience. And I'm hoping it really does. The other thing that we have is a picture book. Mypublisher.com, if you don't know about it, you can download your pictures, make books. So we've got a picture book of the trip, and I'll leave that up here if you want to take a look at it afterwards. I've also showed it to our dean because, of course, one of the issues is getting money for students to go and study abroad. And she has since gotten copies for our advisory committee. So hopefully there'll be some fundraising in the future to help us with some of these trips. Thank you.